Okay, so we're on Daf Lamed Hey tonight. I'll begin on Lamed Dalet Amid Beis around four lines above where it gets wide. Okay, on Lamed Dalet Beis, page 34b, page 68, six lines from the bottom, four lines above where it gets wide. So Amar Shmuel v'kulam Tzricho Lamtin Shloshah Chadashim. So if you remember, we mentioned in the Mishnah we did on Shabbos, that if you had two brothers marry two sisters and it was a switcheroo with both of them, so then they have to wait 3 months before the wives go back to the true husbands. So Shmuel says, and we're going to have other cases in the Mishnah later on, that in any case where a woman was married, you have to wait 3 months before she can, you know, marry again. Except from a giyoret, if a woman's a convert and she's a katana, or mishukhreret katana, or she was a freed slave, you know, under 12, then it's exempted. But the implication is, if she's a minor child that's a Jewish child, she has to wait 3 months. So the way the Gemara takes it is a young child cannot bear a child. So if she's below a katana, then she's not going to bear a child. But there's a gzera by a bas Yisrael. We have a gzera by a bas Yisrael, because you know that we're afraid that an older person might make a mistake, so we have one rule fits all. That's our klal. Now with the giorit and the shufreret, those are rare cases, so we're not going to get involved with them. So now focusing on the Jewish child who's a katana, this is the last narrow line on Lamed Daled Amud Beis. He says, "Who am I? So what's the case? In other words, how did that marriage come to an end? She's katana, she's below age 12. How did the marriage end?" So Iba Mion, if we're talking about a case of Mion, Mion is where the child says, "I'm out of this place." So Bahamar Shmuel Lo Bayim. So Shmuel says in that case, she doesn't require to wait 3 months, because again, Mion I wouldn't confuse with an older woman. In other words, I'm confused, like people get confused. You know, if a younger child doesn't have to wait 3 months, an older woman doesn't have to wait 3 months either. But by Mion, I know it sticks in my mind. That's obviously a different case. An older woman never has a case of Mion. So there Shmuel said explicitly that she doesn't have to wait 3 months. The Iba Get, and if we're talking about that the first marriage was terminated through a Get, Amro Shmuel Chadazimna. Shmuel, so it means a Get, means that, in other words, a different case. In other words, her father could have married her off. So then she's married on a Deraisa level, and then she requires a Get in order to dissolve the marriage. But Shmuel already said that with the get you have to wait 3 months. He says the Amar Shmuel Mion Abo in the Sri Chlamtin Shoshakanashim. Shmuel said if she does Mion, Mion means she was married by her brothers or her mother. The father was out of the situation. So then she just says, "I'm out of here," and then she doesn't have to wait 3 months. But Natan La Get, if the husband gave her a get, Sri Chlamtin Shoshakarashim, she has to wait 3 months. So again, Shmuel taught us a case above that if she's Bas Yisrael, that's a katana, she has to wait 3 months. We can't figure out what case he was talking about, because if the get case, he already taught it to us. And if it's not get, then it's not necessary. He would have taught that to us as well. So the Gemara says, last line on Lamed Daled Beis, Elu Biznut. So the, you know, when after every possibility is exhausted, we're left with Biznut. It was that she had a fling with the person, you know, he had relations with a man outside of marriage, and that she has to wait 3 months now before she can be married. So the Gemara explains the top line on Lamed Hey Amid Aleph, the Gazer Rabbana Katana Mishum Gedola. The Chami made a Gzeir of a Katana because of a Gedola. That's the case that Shmuel is teaching us. Okay, so again, the idea is that the Katana really can't bear a child, but if she's has relations with a man and she's a Katana, and she doesn't zinuas, so we make gzera for her because of an older woman. That would be that case. And again, 3 months is because after 3 months we could ascertain whether she was pregnant or not, and it's important to determine who's the father. So the Gemara says, "Umigas rina katana mishum gedola." Do we merely make a gzera for a katana because of a gedola? But it's not. And we learned the Mishnah. And this Mishnah we had on Shabbos. Imayu katana uchenan ruyu leleid. If, remember, the two sisters who married the two brothers, if they were ketanot and they're not able to bear children, mazir on tamiyad. So the Tana of the Mishnah says, we give them back to the rightful husbands, you know, right away. So here we're saying, Shmuel, Lachor is saying, that if a, you know, a young woman has relations with a man, we think he's saying she has to wait 3 months because of Xera, because of an older woman. But here in the Mishnah, they said, the Mishnah said explicitly, they're Ketanot, they don't have to wait. So Amar Rav Gilal Marav, Hora'at Shahaita. So Rav Gilal says in Rav that indeed the Halakha of the Mishnah is not a general rule, but is a Hora'at Shah. It was a unique ruling based on the specifics of the case that was before you know, the Chacham at that, or the Chacham at that time. So the Gemara says, Mechlal Dehavoy. So you mean that this event actually took place? In other words, the case in the Mishnah on Laman Gimel, that he had two brothers and two sisters, and they got, you know, confused, you know, inadvertently mixed up the wives. He says that really was a case. But if that were the case, we would expect the Tana of the Mishnah to say, it says, you know, Masa Haya, there was an incident that took place and this happened, but that's not what the Mishnah says. It doesn't seem like it was an actual case. So the Gemara says, Ela kihorat haita v'chilof lo shchiach. It was like a horat shah. Means horat shah means like a special ruling in a case that came up. It's the equivalent of horat shah because it's talking about like two wives and two husbands and they get inadvertently mixed up. That's a very rare instance. So in that instance, they said it's so rare, and a katana anyway can't bear a child. So we're not going to extend the gzeira in that case. But generally speaking, there would be a gzeira according to this lashon of Shmuel for a katana. All right, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything that I did so far?
Nothing. I was walking to shul with Mark Shane, who's been following the daf, one of the dafim. He says it's like seven brides for seven brothers.
All right.
Do you remember that movie? Do you know that movie?
I've heard the title or whatever. You know, like this. But the anyway. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay, so I'm gonna move on then. All right, now let's take a look.
50.
What? 50. Okay, now.
Yeah. So. Burial.
All right, now on line 5, on Laman Heyman Al, 35a, line 5, Lishnach Mina Amrilo, there was another version of this discussion. In other words, there was a discussion in the base medrash this way, and then there was a different version of the discussion. It says, Amar, this version, Amar Shmuel, Kulan Srichot Lam Tin Shoshel Charashim, that all the women, it means the women that were mentioned in the Mishnah Lama Gimel, and there's also going to be another Mishnah later on, a Mim Alef, and later on the Gemara has, I think, a Bryce and Mim Beis, that all these women have to wait 3 months, chutz migiyoret, except for a woman who converts. You know, when a woman converts, it's the presumption at law is that they're not so careful before they convert. Umeshukreret, or a woman who's being freed, she was a shifcha kananit, gidola, who are adults. So in this version, Shmuel is addressing himself to adults have to wait 3 months. About katana bat Yisrael, in a sricha lohanbi shoshel rashim. In this version, Shmuel says, if she's a katana, she does not have to wait 3 months. So in the first version, he says, katana does have to wait 3 months. This version says, no. He says, so b'mai. So the Gemara says, what case are we talking about with the katana that she doesn't have to wait? Iba miyun, if we're talking about a case of miyun where she says, I'm out of here, Amar Shmuel Tadazimna. Shmuel already said it once that she doesn't have to wait. Iba get, if it's talking about a case where the marriage was terminated through a get, Amar Shmuel Debaya, but Shmuel taught that she does have to wait 3 months with a get. The Amar Shmuel Mienabo in a Shrikhlam Tin Shosha Karashim, the Tama get Shrikhlam Tin Shosha Karashim. Ella is not. So in this version, we're saying that the case that the Kana does not have to wait 3 months, excuse me, that she does have to wait 3 months is Wiznut. So in the early version, she had to wait. This version not. In other words, she had relations with a man outside of marriage. So the Gemara says, Zunut b'katana lo shchiyach, and Zunut with a katana is not shchiyach. It's not very common to have Zunut with a katana, so therefore they didn't extend the gzeira to that case, according to this version. Now, the Gemara says, but Yorod b'shukreret, shchiyach u'zunut, l'gzor. So, but the Gemara says, if she's a Yorod, a convert, or m'shukreret, the Gemara says there's a lot of znut that takes place with the Gioret or Meshukreret. So why don't we have the Gzeira that they should have to wait 3 months? So the Gemara says, Hudamark Rabbi Yossi, Shmuel holds like the Tana Rabbi Yossi. We're going to see, Rabbi Yossi is going to say that women in certain circumstances, you know, do efforts to assure that they're not going to conceive. He says, the Tana, we learn the Braisa, a Gioret, if a woman's a convert, Bashuya is a woman who's a captive, like this in Chazal, who always comes out the captive, we're afraid that they're going to abuse them. Bashivcha is a Shivcha Kanani. Again, the Shivcha Kanani, she goes through a type of Geirus, and then if she's freed, then she's fully Jewish. Sheniftu, that were redeemed, that would be the Shuya. Shenit Gairu, that converted, that would be the Gioret. Shenishtakru, that were freed. According to Tan Rabbi Yehuda, in a chinami, they have to wait 3 months because we're concerned that they may have conceived, and we need to know who the child, when the child was conceived. Rabbi Yossi matir le'erase within a same yad, but the Tan Rabbi Yossi permits in these cases the Yeret, the Shifcha, and the Shuya them to be married immediately. So the Gemara says, "I'm a rabba." So Rabba says, "My tama the Rabbi Yossi." What's the reason Rabbi Yossi says they get married right away? Are we concerned they're, you know, carrying a child? So he says, "Kasavar, he the Tana Rabbi Yossi holds, Isha Mizana Mishamesh B'moch, the Isha Kudaber, that a woman who's engaged in, you know, in illicit relations, she uses a moch. A moch is a type of, birth control mechanism to assure that she won't conceive. So Amarle Abaye, Bishleim a Gioret. So Abaye says, look, in some of the cases I understand that makes sense. A Gioret, a prospective convert, even the daika gayure, since her intent is to convert, minatra nafsha ki lahapchim mezerushnas rabakusha, mezerushnas rashlabakusha. So I can hear that she's careful because, you know, she wants to know, was this child, you know, conceived when I was Jewish or not Jewish? So I can understand that she would, you know, use the moat. Shavuya b'shifcha nami, a captive woman and a shifcha. They hear from their masters or their captors that they're going to be released soon, and then they're careful. He says, "Ella yotzei b'shem v'ayin hechi mashkachala." But with the shifcha, in other words, we assume that the shifcha, in other words, in the Braisa, he says the shifcha that was the shtakra, that was she was freed, but Shmuel's statement was, or even if it says b'shukreret, but we assume that it would apply even if b'shem ba'ayin. An eved kanani and a shifcha kanani, that is the same thing. He goes to b'shem ba'ayin. If the master takes out like a rosh eva or whatever, like the tooth or the eye, but the ends of different limbs will have the masechkushin. It goes through it, so they go free. But how does she doesn't know that ahead of time? So how does she know to assure herself that, you know, she doesn't want to conceive before she's being freed? So maybe you'll say that Tana Rabbi Yossi agrees with something unexpected. He agrees, and then she's got to wait 3 months. Now we have Hatan, but on the side he corrects it for Hatanya. But we learn the Braisa, Anusa Umafuta, if a woman is raped or she was seduced, according to Rabbi Yehuda, she has to wait 3 months. Rabbi Yossi matir le'erase v'lo semiyad. Even in that case, even if she's raped, Rabbi Yossi's mati here for to get married right away. So Elamar Abaye, rather Abaye says, or in some other version, Rabba, Isha Mizana Metapecha Shlot Daber. Then Isha's Mizana, a woman who's engaged in illicit relations, will like flip over. The Gemara takes it, you can flip over after having relations, so the semen will come out in some way to prevent conception. He says, so therefore she'll block it off. So we think the pshat is, according to this version, when Shmuel said that a gioret and a mshukhreret doesn't have to wait 3 months, because if she engages in relations, she'll flip over in a way to assure that she doesn't conceive. The irach, the other side, which is Rabbi Yehuda, we're afraid that she won't flip over so well and that it won't be effective. All right, so again, let's just review. So we had two versions of what Shmuel said. In the first version, Shmuel said that a katana has to wait 3 months. So we said, if it's through Mion, the first version, she doesn't have to wait because it's so rare that it makes things there in that case. And the get case, he says you do have to wait three months because we're concerned, you know, confused, you know, one woman with another woman. But the case that Shmuel was really addressing himself to was whether the child was engaged in znut. So if she's engaged in znut in the first version and she's katana, she still has to wait 3 months before she marries somebody. Okay, that's the first version. The second version is that Shmuel was addressing himself to adults, but they have to wait 3 months. But a katana does not have to wait 3 months. So which case was he saying the katana does not have to wait 3 months? So Mion, we say, you already said you don't have to wait. And Get, he already said you do have to wait. So the Gemara says, znut. In other words, in this version, the znut case, you don't have to wait 3 months because it's lo shchia, not shchia. So then the Gemara asked, what about the Gilrit Meshuchreret? The shchia is a lot of znus. So we should make Xer in that case, but they should have to wait. 1 second. Again, in this version, Shmuel says the Giyoret Meshuchreret Gedola don't have to wait. In other words, even if she's an adult Giyoret or an adult Meshuchreret, she doesn't have to wait. The Gemara ends up saying that Shmuel holds like the Tana Rabbi Yossi, and he takes it that a person like who engages in illicit relations will take efforts to assure that she doesn't conceive. All right. Whose questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Anybody? All right, let me finish the parak and then we'll talk some more. All right, let's take a look. So back in the Gemara, we're around 6-7 lines from the end of the parak. Miyukonot b'chulei, we said, now we think the Gemara, the Mishnah said that we thought the pshat was that if the women were benot kohen, the women got flipped over with the wrong men, they were benot kohen. So then the Mishnah said that nifsulumina truma, that they can't eat truma anymore. So we have to figure out what's going on with this case. So bimi konachulei, so konon in Yisraelit lo. So we think right now that the pshat is that they were benot kohen, married to a kohen. That's what we think it is. And that they can't go back to their husband. That's what we think the pshat is. So the Gemara says konon in Yisraelit lo. So what do you mean? It's only a bat kohen. If the wife happens to be a bat kohen, she can't go back to her husband. If she's a bat Israel, she could. So in other words, it means that any time that the woman is engaged in illicit relations, and if she's passel to a kohen. In other words, even if she was raped, she's passel to a kohen. He says we're welcome. Okay, we're in Lamed Hei Amud Aleph, around six lines before the end of the parak. So Ema. So we should say, we should understand the Mishnah, not that they were Kohenot, Benot Kohen, but they did the wives of Kohenim. So the Gemara says, Neshek Kohenim, Neshek Yisraelim Lo. You mean only if their wives are Kohen, they have the problem not if their wife of Israel, meaning, let's say their wife of Israel, and then the Israel dies, and then they marry a Kohen. Aren't they in the same pickle as before? He says, V'ha'amar Rav Amram said, Hamilta Amar Lan Rav Sheshit. Rav Sheshit said this to us. It's a nice turn of phrase. He illuminated our eyes from the Mishnah. If a Jewish woman was raped, even though she's permitted to her husband, she's psulakuna. So in Achinami, whether the woman is a bat kohen or she's Israelite, even if she's married to a regular Israel, she's going to be pasul to the kuna afterwards. So I'm a rabbi, Hachi Kamar. So Rabbi says the Pshat Mishnah is as follows. Imayu konot nesut Yisrael. If the Mishnah means if they were benot Kohen, married to Yisrael, this is niflu natru de benashayu. Now, the halacha is that if she's a bad Kohen, she's married to Yisrael, and then the Yisrael dies or divorces her, then she goes back to her father's home and can eat truma. But if she had, you know, been raped, or in this case, she had been part of the switcheroo process, even though it was inadvertent on her part, she nevertheless loses or forfeits her right to truma. And that's the case that the Mishnah was speaking about. Okay, any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? All right, we've got a good team here. 1 second. All right, let's see what we got.
When you were talking about the Giyoret getting pregnant, yeah, and you're assuming that before she's mitgayeret, she's learning something, right? Wouldn't you think she would try not to put herself in a position of becoming pregnant?
Yeah, I tell you the truth, I was a little bit bothered about that also. But
how good are the lessons?
The only thing I could say is that, Chazal take it that non-Jews are very loose sexually, and that, you know, she's still, you know, doing the old, you know, her old lifestyle, but she has on the ultimate gayrus. And so
in today's day and age, where you see the ones that are actually really into it, and they go to a real Rebbetzin that works with them.
They're
very much into it, even more so than modern Orthodox women sometimes.
All right. I'm going to move on. Okay, everybody good? Okay. Hatzalah Karba Achin Yashikoa to all of you. You've completed the three Prakim in Yivamot. And as I said, you're I think, more than a quarter way through the Masechta. Yashikoa. Okay, now, we're on Lamed Bab and Beis, the top Mishnah. And this parak, I think, is easier than the previous Prakim. This one is, and then the next one, Rabbi Packer says, is harder, and then I think we're in the free. Okay. Now, here you have, again, Reuben and Shimon. Reuben dies. His wife, Rachel, was a widow. And Shimon does chalitza with Rachel. And then it turns out, and it was as far as we knew, now it means that they didn't follow halacha. They were supposed to wait 3 months. He didn't wait 3 months. But he waited until after the shiva was over, and then he did chalitza with Rachel. So, and then, lo and behold, it turns out that Rachel is really pregnant. Vialda, and then she gives birth. Vizmansha v'lanshal kiyama, if the offspring is a viable offspring, he says, humutar b'krovotah, vimutar b'krovav. So, normally, if a man does chalitza, a legally binding chalitza, so he's prohibited, like, I can't marry the woman's sister anymore. In other words, I was like married to her. In other words, if she's a chalutza, I wasn't married to her, but I had that whole connection with her. So I can't marry her sister, I can't marry her mother, I can't marry her daughter. But here in this case, the chalutza was a nullity because she was carrying an offspring and then she gave birth to the offspring. So you can say chalutza means nothing. She wasn't, you know, in the parsha for it. So humutar b'krovotah, then he's allowed to marry her relatives. V'himutar b'krovav, and she can marry his relatives, like he might have a maternal brother. She can marry the maternal brother. Below pasla min kuhuna, and she's not pasla from kuhuna. In other words, a chalutza on a derabbanan level is asur to a kohen, but her chalutza was nothing. So everything is no harm, no foul. All right. Now,
so her status is just an almana.
Let's wait till the end of the mishnah. I'll pause another 8 lines. Okay. So ein avlad shel kayama. If the offspring, though, was not a viable offspring, so if it's not a viable offspring, means that, in other words, he does chalitza, let's say, a week after the death of his brother. And then, you know, it turns out that she's pregnant, but it turns out that the vlad was not a viable vlad. So it means that at the end of the day, she really needed to have chalitza, but they didn't know it, you know, everything at the time. So ein vlad shel kayama. So it means retroactively, we look at the whole situation. So he did chalitza and she needed chalitza. So then indeed, he's prohibited in her krovim. As we said before, he can't marry her sister, her mother, her daughter. He has to be krovav and she can't marry his relatives. Indeed, she's pasul from the kuna. Now, the next halach in the Mishnah, and we'll get to you shortly, Fern. If a person, konis yibimto means he does yibum with his, so in this case, Shimon is not doing chalitza, he's doing yibum. And then, this is really tricky, dicey, and then say muberet. And then, so they didn't wait, and I don't know, they wanted to share the misery together, and then they had relations, you know, a week after the Shiva. And then, you know, 2 or 3 months later, it turns out she's pregnant. Bialda, and now she gives birth. So if it's a viable birth, and we're assuming in this case that it's the deceit in the Reuven's offspring, so he has to, Yotzi's got to, like, divorce her. She doesn't need a get because she was not, he was asr with her. In other words, it's an, you know, the Kiddushin aren't, I mean, he did Yibam with her. The Yibam is not Yibam. And so Yotzi, he's got to, you know, end the relationship with her. The Chayavim b'Korban, and they both require Korban. They did a terrible Aveira. They had relations, you know, Eshadach, both of them. V'im ein v'lat shel kayama, but if the offspring is not a viable offspring, then Yikayim, then he can keep her. Now, so let's say they're not sure whose offspring it was. Safik ben Tishal Rishon, Safik ben Shiva la'achron. Let's say now we're not sure. They had relations and they didn't wait. And now we don't know, is this Reuven's child and it's a 9-month child? Or is it Shimon's child, the 7-month child? And 8 months, because I'll take it, it doesn't happen. So the Gemara says, Yotzi, he has to divorce her. So I'll give her a get me Safik. But Vlad Kashra, the Vlad is definitely not a mamzer. Either the Vlad is Reuven's, which is not a mamzer, or it's not Reuven's, in which case it's Shimon's, but it's not a mamzer. They're both Chayiv and Asham Talui. He's not sure whether they did an illicit relationship one with another. Okay, now we got Fern. What do you got for me, Fern?
No, I was just in my head, I said it out loud and I apologize, saying that since the Chalitza is a nullity, she's just an almana and just asar on a Kohen Gadol.
Right. Okay. Right. Okay. All right, so I'm going to go on then. Everybody with me? Okay. Now, we're going to learn a machloket in the Gemara between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, subject to connection with our Mishnah. So let's put the Mishnah in one side and let's begin anew with the discussion with Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, and then we will connect them both together. Okay? So Gemara, Itmar, hacholitz l'muberet b'hipila. So in this case, the person does chalitza with a woman who he knows is pregnant, which is really asking for problems, but it wouldn't make a difference whether he knew or didn't know. Hacholitz l'muberet b'hipila, and then she miscarries. So this case is pretty similar to the case of the Mishnah, where he does chalitza and it's not a bar kayama. That's really almost the same thing, right? So Imar chalitza muberet v'yipila. Rabbi Yochanan Amar ein atzricha chalitza min ha'achin. So Rabbi Yochanan says she, the widow, I'll call her Rachel like as before. She needs chalitza min ha'achim. So achim are either brothers of the deceased, or and that could be, or it means the brothers of the yavam, but it means also including the yavam. Anyway, the point is she doesn't need another chalitza according to Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish Amar, and here, Rav Shechter mentioned to me, this is one of three cases where the Lach is like Reish Lakish, which is very unusual. So Reish Lakish Amar, Sricha Chalitza Min Achim. No, she does need Chalitza. It was the first Chalitza was not a good Chalitza. Now, the Gemara explains, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, ain't Sricha Chalitza Min Achim. She doesn't require Chalitza from the brothers. Chalitza Muberet Shema Chalitza, Ubiat Muberet Shema Bia. According to Rabbi Yochanan, Chalitza with a woman who is pregnant, or Bia with a woman who is pregnant, and then it ends up that she doesn't carry a viable offspring. In other words, then she miscarries, but that's legally effective Chalitza, legally effective Bia. In other words, if he's doing Yibam, it's legally effective. If he's doing Chalitza, it's legally effective. Reish Lakish Amar, Srich Chalitza Min Achim. Reish Lakish says, notwithstanding the fact that the woman miscarries, she needs a chalitza again. It was the first chalitza was not a good chalitza. Chalitza muberet lashma chalitza ubiat muberet lashma bia. And the bia with the muberet is not called a good bia. So the Gemara says, "But my commitment, what's the point of dispute between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish?" So ibayim akrav ibayim svara. Like the Gemara says many times, it could be based on a pasuk or it could be based on a svara. Now the Bach here flips it over and wants to do the pasuk first, but I'm going to do the Gemara the way we have it printed here. Near the small aleph in parentheses. So the Gemara says, Ibayinim Svara. I could say it's based on a Svara. How so? Yochanan Savar, Im Yavolio Vyomar, the Hadi Abram Apuli Mapla, Milaba Chalitza Vibimhi. Let's assume, arguendo, that Elu Anavi would show up before the Chalitza, and we know that she's pregnant, and Eliyahu Anavi would inform us that she's going to miscarry. So would that not be a good chalitza? If we know that she's not carrying a viable offspring, it would be a good chalitza. So hashanami tigli milta l'mafreya. So Rabbi Yochanan says, so retroactively, we're going to know that it wasn't a viable offspring, and we didn't know that at the time, but we know it now. And so the chalitza that was done was a good chalitza. That's what Rabbi Yochanan says. Reish Lakish amar, tigli milta l'mafrei lo amrin. Reish Lakish says we don't do retroactive, you know, information to figure out the whole thing. Now, there's a Tosafot here who says you have to distinguish between a case where the truth was unknowable to a case where the truth is just unknown. So if the according to Reish Lakish, if the truth is unknowable, in other words, at the time, it's totally unknowable at the time. There's no way you can know that she's going to miscarry. I mean, Eliyahu Navi could come, but we don't have Eliyahu Navi. So then he holds we can't say anything retroactively. But if the truth was just unknown to us, then you could say it would be revealed retroactively. All right, hold on 1 minute, and then I'll just do a few more lines, then we'll pause and take questions, comments, and thoughts. V'yi by name of Kra, or in the alternative, I could say it's based on a pasuk. V'yochanan savar uvein ein lo marak mana v'hadleitle. Yochanan says, the Torah says, you know, two brothers live together, u'meid echad mihem, one of them dies, uvein ein lo, he doesn't have offspring. At the time that he did chalitza and were yibam with her, so the fetus was not yet born, so there was no offspring at that point in time. So gamarnu, according to Rabbi Yochanan. He says, Reish Lakish, but in Echinami, had she given born to one, we wouldn't say that, but as of the time, nobody was born. Reish Lakish Tavar, Uvein Ein Lo, Ayein Alav. This is a drasha that he has, we had this all earlier in the Gemara. Uvein Ein Lo, Ein is spelled Aleph Yud Nun. Gemara takes it, you could spell it Aleph Nun. And so Aleph Yud Nun means you have to investigate all the situations. And so if she's pregnant, we have to investigate and clarify that situation. So Reish Lakish takes it that the Chalitza and the Yibam aren't good. Okay, let's pause for a second. We haven't connected it yet to our Mishnah, but we will soon. But let's just focus on Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So they have a machloket, again, with the case where it's a non-viable fetus. And the Yavam does Chalitza and or Yibam with her. So Rabbi Yochanan says it's an effective Chalitza and effective Yibam. Because at the end of the day, she didn't have a viable offspring, and she certainly didn't have a viable offspring at the time, so it's a good chalitza or a good yibam, whatever the case may be. And Reish Lakish says, no, it's not at all valid, because any chalitza with a woman who is pregnant is not a valid chalitza, and it's not available a valid yibam either, notwithstanding the fact that she later on miscarried. All right, who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far?
I do. How under these circumstances can you say that her future miscarriage is knowable based on history? What?
No, it's not knowable.
It's no, not knowable. You said Tosfot was talking about the difference between unknown and not known.
Right. No. Tosfot distinguishes between a case like is ours within Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says we don't go retroactively. So Tosfos brings another case where he says we do go retroactively. Tosfos says in this case, Reish Lakish says, no, we don't do retroactively because the truth is unknowable. We can't, there's no way we can know the truth at the time. But sometimes the truth is just unknown to us, and then we discover it, then Reish Lakish says we can go retroactively. Okay? All right. Any other questions, comments,
thoughts? I have a question. I don't understand. If a woman is pregnant, why would they be able to go to ignore the erva issue? Because she's pregnant. The whole concept
I heard. Okay, now it means you have two people who are not following halakha. According to halakha, they have to wait 3 months. They're doing their own thing. As you know, some people do their own things. So they do their own things and whatever, and they have one of those chalitza shoes, and the yibam doesn't require any extra material, and they decide to go ahead and do whatever they do. And now we have to pick up the pieces and figure out what the halakha is, okay? All right.
Yes, okay.
I thought chalitza had to be done in a beit din. No?
So we normally do have a Beis Din, but I assume that they convene like maybe like three head yotot or something like that. That would be the way they did it. We're going to have a parak about chalitza, but whatever they did, you know, they gathered people to do it. All right. Now, one second. I have a piece here. If you want, this is from the Al Hadaf, and we have a little time. And then there's another piece here. Let's just have. All right. I have two different pieces. Okay. Here's the first piece, which is an interesting topic. This is from the Daf Digest. It says, Rabbi Yochanan argued, if Eliyonavi were come, then a formative woman would miscarry, she would certainly be subject to the chalitza. So in the Gemara's case of a woman who received chalitza while pregnant and then miscarried, we should be able to declare retroactively the chalitza was done correctly. Rabbi Yochanan's argument indicates that if Eliyonavi would come and share with us information, that information could be used to decide matters of halacha. Furthermore, even Reish Lakish, who disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan, does not argue that information gleaned from a prophet is unacceptable in deciding matters of halacha. His argument is that we cannot ratify a chalitza retroactively, but he seems to agree that a prophet may introduce useful information when deciding halacha. This approach is difficult in light of the ruling of Rambam, based on the Gemara, that Torah is not in heaven, lo bash kamayim hi, and halachic matters are not decided by prophets. Our Gemara seems to be inconsistent with that ruling. In other words, the Rambam says, lo bash kamayim hi. So we can't rely on what any Navi says or anything like that. Like in Shemayim, even they say the halacha is X or Y, we can't rely on it. And here, the Gemara seems to say within Rabbi Yochanan, and we take it that Reish Lakish would agree that if this occurred, we could accept it, that if Eliyonavi would show up and say, you know, she's going to miscarry, that we would accept that information and act on it. And how does that doesn't shtimois what we know the general halacha is. Some posts can maintain that these two sources are not contradictory. The statement that Torah is not in heaven teaches that Allah is not determined by what a prophet may claim is the will of Hashem, because once the Torah was given to Klal Yisrael, it's not for Hashem or any of the prophets to decide on halacha. However, many matters of halacha depend upon knowledge of the facts, and it is not uncommon for there to be facts that are not known. For example, the Gemara earlier had a discussion regarding a woman who gave birth to a child, and it was not known whether the child was a 9-month pregnancy from her first husband or 7-month pregnancy from her second husband. Regarding these matters, the testimony of a prophet concerning the facts of a case are acceptable so that those rendering a halachic decision can have all available information before them when they make the decision. In other words, someone would be machalic. In other words, is the Navi telling me a halacha, or is he just telling me the facts? So if Lu Yatzur, the Navi would come up and say, these are the facts, so I can listen to the facts from the Navi. The Gaon Chida cites opinions who disagree with this conclusion and maintain that even information may not be gleaned through prophecy. But then cites numerous proofs against this approach and his conclusion is that prophets may share knowledge of facts that they receive through prophecy. Okay, this is the Ha'ara. Then, all right. I'm just thinking, there's a piece from the Brisker Rabbah. I'm just trying to remember what it says about
Thank Pinchas. You.
Okay, hello.
This is an active driveway.
Okay, one second. Pinchas,
oh, an active let's driveway. She's moved the car.
Okay, all right. Everybody has to remember to be muted. Okay, now, there's a Brisker Rav, he says about with Pinchas, right? So Pinchas is Eliyahu, is what Chazal teach us, and he lived forever. So I think so. The Brisker Rav asks, how is it that, like, the Rambam brings down that Eliyahu was one of the Bali Masora? Eliyahu, right, that's it. So what the Rambam brings down, that it, like the Rambam goes through in his Seder Masorah, the Rambam goes down, you know, everybody from Moshe Rabbeinu, who the Bali Masorah were, till the time of the Gemara. That's where the Rambam goes, in his Hakdama to the Mishnah Torah. So the question is, how can, if Lo B'Shamayim He, how can Eliyahu HaNavi be part of the Bali Masorah? He's a Navi, and he went up to Shemayim. So the way the Brisker Rav has it, it depends which hat he's wearing when he does it. If he's Navi, he could be, you know, part of the Bali Masorah. And then another hat, he could be a Navi. Okay, now there's another piece here. Let me finish the Gemara and get to these pieces. Okay, let's make sure that gets through the Gemara. Okay, let's back into the Gemara. Everybody with me? Okay. So, all right. So again, so we said we have a machlokah between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Is chalitza or Yibum with a woman who is pregnant, in other words, the widow who is pregnant, and he knows that she's pregnant, but she miscarries, are those legally effective acts? And so we had a machlokah, according to Yochanan, they are legally effective, Reish Lakish, they're not. Okay, so four lines before it gets wide. Eight Rabbi Yochanan and Rosh Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan poses a question to Rabbi Rosh Lakish from our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Ein avlad shel kayama." This is talking about the chalitza part. The first part of the Mishnah was chalitza. The second part was yibam. So in the chalitza part, the Tana Mishnah said, "Ein avlad shel kayama." If the offspring is not a non-viable offspring, which is the case that we've been talking about, who asur b'krovota? He, the avam, is prohibited with her relatives. Like we said, he can't marry her mother, her daughter. He says, "For he asur b'krovav," and she's prohibited with his relatives. And then, upasla mina kuhuna, and she's pasul from kuhuna because she's a chalitza. So bishleim adidida mina chalitza nuberet shma chalitza. So according to me, I hold the chalitza of nuberet is called chalitza. She was nuberet and she's a chalitza, so that's effective. Mishamachi pasla el didach. But according to you, Reish Lakish, the amar chalitza nuberet la shma chalitza. You just said the chalitza of a woman who's pregnant is not a good legally effective chalitza. Am I pasla min akuna? So why does he pasla her from the kuna? So Reish Lakish is back to Rabbi Yochanan. He says, really technically, she's not possible from kahuna. And that's just it means the whole din of chalitza is in the Rabbanan. But he's saying this is an added rabbinic stringency that people, in other words, I was trying to think of a case to illustrate this, but like, let's say, according to the way Reish Lakish understands this, and which we follow Allah like Reish Lakish, so the chalitza that he did was a nullity. So she still needs yibam or chalitza. So let's say now he goes forward and does yibam with her, and let's say he dies. Is she now permitted to marry Cohen? So if she's got a din of chalitza, she's not. But here, Reish Lakish is saying she's technically not a chalitza, but Reish Lakish is saying, as rabbinic stringency, they said, yeah, she can never marry Cohen because we're afraid that people will see this and they won't realize that she was pregnant and assume that she went through a chalitza, and so that a chalitza married a Cohen, they'll carry that over. Okay, so the point is we asked the question against Reish Lakish, we're able to deflect the question. Now, the second wide line, Ikeda Amri, others say that it wasn't Rabbi Yochanan posing the question to Reish Lakish, it was Reish Lakish posing the question to Rabbi Yochanan. Eifei Reish Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan, Ein avlad shel kayama, the same case, if the offspring is not a viable offspring, hu asur b'krovoteha, he's prohibited. In again, so he does chalitza with a woman who's pregnant, but the offspring is not viable. Hu asur b'krovoteha, he's prohibited in her relatives. He asur b'krovav upasam anakuna. So b'shleim adidida mina chalitza muberet lashma chalitza. So according to me, Reish Lakish, I say the chalitza with muberet is a nullity. It's not a chalitza. Hainu deketani pasam anakuna lechumra. So I understand it means like this: chalitza has Isurim and Heterim connected with it. Isurim, that in other words, if the chalitza is done, now she's chalutza, she's prohibited with that, but she has Heterim, she doesn't need chalitza from other brothers, and the Heter is more of a chiddush. So he says, so Reish Lakish says, if the Tana here is only teaching me the Isurim. So Reish Lakish says, how did the Katani pass on the Kuna, the Chumra? So according to me, the Tana only teaches me that she's passed from the Kuna. So that's for a chumra. It's teaching me like the Isurim, that this is a bit stringent. The low Katani in the three chalitza mina achim. He doesn't say she doesn't require chalitza from the other brothers, because she does require chalitza from the other brothers, because chalitza was zero. El didach, but according to you, Rabbi Yochanan, in the three chalitza mina achim, by like the Tana should have taught me that she doesn't require any more chalitza. That's kochta tera adiv. It's greater for the Tana to teach me kochta tera. So how come, according to you, Rabbi Yochanan, the Tana doesn't teach that halacha? So Rabbi Yochanan says, Amarlei, Yinachinami, you're absolutely correct that she doesn't require chalitza from the Achim, the Tana should have taught it, but for Ivi Tana Reisha, Lo Pasla, since in the first case in the Mishnah, where he taught me that that if she went through chalitza, but she gave birth to a viable offspring, so she's not pasla from the kuna anymore. So he says, Tana Seifa pasla. In other words, to set her off like symmetry of language in cases. So in the first case, he does chalitza, and then she gives birth to a viable offspring, so she's not pasla from kuna. So the second case, where she doesn't give birth to a viable offspring, she gives birth to a non-viable offspring, where she miscarries. So he says that case pasla, but it's just to keep it like the symmetry of language. Okay, so we had a question either Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Shakish, or else Rabbi Shakish Rabbi Yochanan. Either way, the question was deflected. All right? Any questions, comments, and thoughts on anything that we did so far? All right, let's keep moving. Now, another question. Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Shakish. Rabbi Yochanan poses the following question to Rabbi Shakish. Now, this is talking about the case with Yibum. So now the second part of the Mishnah. He can't wait. He can't wait to do Yibum. He really, notwithstanding his Avelos and everything else and her Avelos, he's got his mind on Yibum. So he says, if the blood is not Bar Kayama, the blood is not viable, Yikayim, he can keep her as his wife. So Rabbi Yochanan says, so I say, if a woman is pregnant, the chalitza you do with her is chalitza, and the bia you do with her is a good bia. Meaning, if she doesn't give birth to a viable offspring, that was stated back that you don't know it at the time, therefore, the Tana Mishnah says he can keep her as his wife. El didach, but according to you, Reish Lakish, according to you, if she's pregnant and you do chalitza with her, that's not a good chalitza. If you have bia with her, yibam with her, but she was pregnant, that's not a good bia. So in this case, where it's not a non-viable, and then she gives birth to a non-viable offspring, if he wants to keep her as his wife, he's got to do Yibam again. So the Tana is not saying the right thing. Again, he did Yibam with her. She was pregnant. And then she gave birth to a non-viable fetus. So the Tana of the Mishnah says, Yikayim, I can keep her. But according to you, Reish Lakish, you shouldn't say I can keep her. In other words, I have to do Bia again. What I did before was an ineffective act of Tinian. I need to have Yibam again and then keep her. So Reish Lakish says, my Yikayim, what does Yikayim mean? Yes, Zor people, Yikayim, Losagi, and here on the side, he's got, where is it? Yeah, Losagi Balabhaki, according to Yaakov Emden, it's on the margin. In other words, Reish Lakish says, the Pshat has to be, when in the Talmud Mishnah says Yikayim, he'll keep her, he means to do Yibam again and keep her. Because otherwise, there's no option, because if he had the act of Yibam and it wasn't an effective Yibam, so he's either got to do Chalitza, but he can't do Chalitza because he already had relations with her, like Pasnish, doesn't look right. Or he can't give her a get because he's not her husband yet. So at the minimum, he's got to be Mekayim her. Even if he wants to divorce her, he's got to be Mekayim her. Okay, just one, when somebody unmuted themselves, let's just mute again. And we'll wait a few lines, and we'll be open for questions in a second. Okay, So now the Gemara says, "Ikad Amri." Others say that the conversation went like this: "Efe Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan." That actually Reish Lakish posed the question to Rabbi Yochanan: "Ein avlat shel yikayama yikayim." That if the offspring is not viable, Tana Mishnah says you can keep her. So Mishlem Dinamina Chalitza Mubar Lashma Chalitza Biu Mubar Lashma Bia. According to me, it's in the Mishnah. It has to do another act of Yibum, but that's what the Tana means. El didach, but according to you, Rabbi Yochanan, the Tana should say, Ratzah Yotzi, Ratzah Yikayim, by the way. He should say, if he wants to keep her, he keeps her. He wants to divorce her, he divorces her. Because he already did an act of Yibum. So why is it Yikayim? Maybe I Yikayim, maybe I decided I want to divorce her. Like that. Why does Tana say Yikayim? So Rabbi Yochanan says, in Achinami, you're right, that really should be what he should write. But I didn't Tana Reisha Yotzi, since in the earlier case in the Mishnah, he said that if the blood was a Bar Kayama, which is the case he's referring to here. Yeah, but he was talking about the Yibam thing. Right. So if it's a Bar Kayama, he has to divorce her. So Tananami Seifa, so in the next case, he's got to teach me Yikayim. In other words, for symmetry of language, you'll see chayim are opposites. Okay? All right. We have 60 seconds for questions, and then we got to go on. Any questions, comments, or thoughts? Everybody good? Okay. I'm moving on.
Do you have anybody with you in the base medrash?
I do. I have Yosef is here.
Rabbi, quick question. They asked that if Eliyahu HaNavi were there to tell us what the result would be, then what the halacha would be. In other words, they don't believe in things like Ruach HaKodesh. Yeah. They don't believe in Gural HaGra or other ways to know what's happening.
All right, we discussed this. You know, I think you must have come in late. Were you here when I discussed this, Daniel? Because I discussed not you were here when I discussed that case. I think you did. But the issue is, if the Navi comes and tells me information that is unknowable to me, in other words, it's not. There's no way or no earthly way that I could know those facts. So, is that something that I can, you know, act under? That's what he's talking about. Let me move on. Let me finish the Gemara, okay? And then if we have time, we'll come to you. But I think we need the time right now, okay? So 10 lines from the bottom. Okay, so Meifei, now we ask a question against Rabbi Yochanan, which really tells me which way the wind is blowing. Because in this case, like Tud Rav Shechta said, this is one of three cases we go like Reish Lakish. You can see the way it went up to now, question Rabbi Yochanan, question Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan, and there was a question from Rabbi Yochanan to Reish Lakish, then from Reish Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan, and then Rabbi Yochanan to Reish Lakish, and Reish Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan. Now we're asking a question just against Rabbi Yochanan. Meifei, Hakoni Sit Yibim To, this is a Brisa. The Brisa says, if a person does Yibim, Vidim Sit Mubarat, and then lo and behold, she's pregnant, you know, we think from the prior husband. Harezu Lo Tina Sit Sarato, so her co-wife shouldn't get married. Because maybe the offspring will be a bar kayama. So the Gemara first wants to touch up the Brisa. The Gemara says, Adraba, ki habi blah ben kayama miftarat sarata. If it's a bar kayama, then the co-wife is released. In other words, if, again, Reuven was married to Rachel, married to Bilhah, so if Rachel is carrying a viable child, then Bilhah walks. She doesn't need anything. Ela ema, so the way that I should understand the Brisa is, Shema lo yehe blah ben kayama. That the Tzara has to cool her heels because it might not be a viable offspring, in which case she or someone will still need to do Chalitza or Yibam. If, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that relations with a woman who is pregnant is considered to be an act of, you know, an invalid act of Yibam. In other words, this case is that she's pregnant, but it's non-viable fetus. And they said, well, then the Tana B'raisa says that the Tzara has to wait. So, but the Yavam did Yibam with her. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, Bi'am Uber Ishma Bi'am, I lotina say Tzara Tat, Tiftor B'yushal Kaberta. Why does the Tzara have to stick around? Then Rachel did Yibam ready. And if it turns out later on that it's a non-viable fetus, then we're home free. So Amar Abaye. So now, Abaye reinterprets what Rabbi Yochanan says. Amar Abaye, the Bia Kuliyama lo pligid lo patra. So Abaye wants to that Rabbi Yochanan agrees the Bia with the Muberet is definitely not good. He pligid b'chalitza. Rabbi Yochanan sabar chalitza Muberet shma chalitza Bia Muberet lashma Bia. Yochanan distinguishes according to Abaye between chalitza and Bia, and the only story I saw in the article was that the Bia I'm doing like an act which is an illicit act with the chalitza is like nishka berla. He says, so the bia, we're not going to give legal force and effect to it. Rish Lakish sabar bia muberet lashma bia. This muberet lashma chalitza. Rish Lakish says nothing's effective. Yochanan says the chalitza is effective. So Amalei Rava. So Rava says the bia man of shak. What does that understand? He bia muberet shma bia chalitza muberet shma chalitza. He bia muberet lashma bia chalitza muberet nami lo shma chalitza. Rava says no, it doesn't make sense. The bia and the chalitza rise and fall together. The hakaimalon, the top line. Along the double nala, that kaimalon the fula ola the yibam. Anyone who's eligible for yibam ola the chalitza is eligible for chalitza. Kosha ain't ola the yibam, ain't ola the chalitza. So the Gemara scratches what Abaye says, and we're leaving Rabbi Yochanan the way he was. But now we have to resolve the question. Ela amar Rava hashikam. Rava. So the question for Rabbi Yochanan is, how come the Tzara has to stick around? So ela amar Rava hashikam. Or konis yibim tov, but im seit muberet. If a man does yibam and it turns out that his Yivama is Muberet, Arezulo Tina Se Tarato, the co-wife, my example, Billa, shouldn't get married, Shemi Hevla Ben Kayama, because maybe it'll turn out that the offspring is a viable offspring. He says, Ubiat Muberet Lashma Bia, the Chalitza Muberet Lashma Chalitza. So the Bia is not a Bia, the Chalitza is not a Chalitza, fine. He says, Vahavlad, you know, Poter, Achi Telavir Ha'olam. But the Vlad doesn't pater anybody till he's born. So if she's pregnant, in other words, we have to clarify one thing. Either Rachel is giving birth to a son, if it belongs to Reuven, or she's doing Chalitza or Yibam. So she's pregnant. So the Chalitza and the Bia are zeros. That's not working. The birth will be illegally effective, but you have to wait till she bears the child. In other words, so that's what it's saying. The Tana Brisa is saying that even if she's carrying a viable offspring, wait till she gives birth before Bila goes and remarries, because Bila has a Zika, law of the brother. Let me just do a few more lines. That will be it, and then we'll take it up more tomorrow. Tani Kvati Durava, Akonis Yibim Tovanim Se Uberet. If a person does Yibim with his sister-in-law and turns out she's pregnant, Arezulotina Se Tzaratah, the co-wife shouldn't marry, Shemi Yehi Vlad Ben Kayama, because maybe the offspring will be a viable offspring, then Bia Bechalitza Poteret, and the Bia Bechalitza, or we're not going to pot there, a Levlad Poter, but Vlad in Potra Achei Tzilavir Ha'olam. And the Vlad is not going to potter until he's born. Okay, there's more here, but I think, all right, I have to break it now. Okay, I'm sorry. I had the, okay, so Rabbi was trying to ask a question against Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said that the Bia and the Chalitza with a woman, even though she's Muberet, is a legally effective act. So we couldn't understand the Pshat in the Braisa. We thought the Pshat in the Braisa was that, 1 second. Okay. One second. Let's go back. One second. Yeah, we thought the Pshat in the Braisa was that the Sarah has to wait because the Vlad may not be a Bar Kriyama, may not be a viable offspring. So the Sarah has to wait, even though Yavam did Chalitza or Yibam with her, Sarah has to wait. But if Rabbi Yochanan is correct that Chalitza or Yibam with a pregnant woman is effective, she doesn't have to wait. She can take a walk. So the Gemara said that the Pshat in the Braisa is that the concern is that the blood will be a bar kayama, will be a viable offspring, and the viable offspring will pater the tzara, but he won't pater her until he's born. That's what the brayza means. So the tzara has to wait. In Achinami, the bee and the chalitza are not effective, and the viable offspring will pater her, but only pater her when he's born. Okay. All right. I gotta end the recording. Gotta end the whole thing. One second.